Love street style? Check out our online exclusive Slug Style feature.
Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves.
Tell me what you're thinking, and you might just have a point, but I can't think too much, there's nothing on my mind.
I'm Mason Comstock. I am the guitarist and kind of front man for Rebel Rebel. You might have seen us at the Pride Festival this year. We played main stage on Saturday night. We're a glam punk band here in Salt Lake, so we're like covered in glitter, play like trashy punk songs. Ash Galvin plays bass and does some backup vocals. Dom Westenskow plays drums. And then most recently, Casper Manalo joined the band and does a lot of, or we're working out some backup vocals with them. And they do keyboards and kind of backup guitars. So, you know, we got together initially under the name For a Few Dollars More. I had a friend who really needed an opener for a show in a few weeks, and I was like, I've got a band. We'd love to play a show. I did not have a band at the time, so I kind of scrambled to find Ash and Dom, who didn't actually really know how to play their instruments at the time. I just liked hanging out with them. I knew Ash's dad had been in bands, and so they would have access to gear at least and would be kind of familiar with that experience. So I didn't think it would be too much to have them kind of pick it up. It's actually weird because when we first got together, we actually started as more like a blues rock kind of thing. Like we still played like loud, fast punk, but there's also like a lot of blues rock mixed in there that pretty quickly left our whole sound, but that's kind of where we started out. But yeah, and in 3 weeks we put together a set, about half of which we kind of dropped immediately after that first show, and then the half that we kept kind of went on to become the Gospel Truth EP, kind of that first one that we dropped. The next year after that, we put out Snakes. Jack White is a huge, huge, huge inspiration for, I mean, everything I've done. At the time, I was listening to, like, a lot of Black Keys and, like, a lot of Von Bondies and that kind of sound. Like, I kind of initially think that what I wanted to do with the band was more of, like, a garage rock kind of blues-inspired thing. And then we kind of played that first show and kept writing and very quickly realized that that was not really the vibe that we had, not really kind of the direction we were going. I think it went pretty well. I think it would probably be worse than I remember it if I were able to, like, travel back in time and be in the audience. Like, nobody said mean things to us when we finished. But I have no idea if that's a good gauge of whether we were good or not. Nobody was hostile. And they weren't so nice that it was, like, a disaster, you know? Like, they weren't, like, patronizing. Like, oh, you did so good, yeah. Really great set, guys. Like, it was just like, yeah, that was good. And people seemed surprised that we'd only been practicing for 3 weeks. So The Gospel Truth is, of course, named after the song The Gospel Truth. We wrote The Gospel Truth and I'm Not Having Any Fun, which I think are two of probably the best songs on that EP for sure, probably a month after that first show. And once we had those two together, I think we were in a place where we were like, you know what, we've got some pretty solid material. Let's find somebody to record this. I think when we had started recording, we had only been playing, you know, 2 or 3 months, because we wanted to make sure that, you know, if we were playing shows, we had something to show. It kind of would help us book if we had, like, an example. And I had a friend who had helped me record some stuff in high school who was like, hey, you know, I'm trying to get a studio up off the ground and would love to help you guys out. And so we went and worked with them. All around, I think we released it about 9 months after the first show. So relatively quickly after we'd kind of come together and started doing stuff. After we released Snakes, we realized we'd, of course, you know, kind of worked ourselves into a hole, because now playing these songs live, there were elements and bits that we loved about the recorded versions that we just couldn't do because there were only three of us. And so for a couple of shows, we'd actually had friends come in and fill in on some of those extra parts. And initially, when I had invited Casper to come and play, it was because we'd actually just gotten the offer to play Pride. And we had 2 or 3 shows kind of lined up in the couple weeks, you know, leading up to that. And so I was like, hey, Casper, do you want to learn some parts for us so that we can really put some extra muscle, you know, on the Pride show specifically? We really wanted to have that extra sound. And Casper, just from the jump, I think, was probably edging to join the band full time. You know, they just immediately were really passionate and really involved. And as I was teaching them parts, they were like, okay, this sounds good, but what if instead I played this? And we're kind of tweaking it and contributing in a way that was really neat. And so, I mean, we played that first show with them, and I think pretty immediately the vibe just felt like this was a direction to go. This was such a natural fit that, like, we couldn't not keep them around, you know? We've started writing some stuff with them, you know, as a fourth member. And I think that's going to kind of change the way that we write and kind of change the sound that we get. Because, of course, everything that we have right now is geared towards kind of the main guitar part. And then everything that Casper plays is kind of what can we work in here that doesn't interrupt the rest, or that, you know, works well with everything else that we've got going. And so it's going to be nice to be able to write things from a perspective of having a few more options. The Pride Festival this year on Saturday. We did main stage at like 8 o'clock, so I think we were just before like the headliner, Shecock and the Rock Princess, who were so good. They got rained out, but they still played such a good fucking set. Getting that set up was actually pretty straightforward. So, I mean, they did open applications, and I know this year they really wanted to kind of put an emphasis on like local acts, that kind of thing. Luckily, one of the people on the entertainment committee this year was in a band that we had played with a couple of times, so they were already kind of familiar with us. They knew that they had liked us a little bit, and so I think that definitely helped, as they were kind of already aware of what we were capable of. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. A really good opportunity, for sure. Definitely the most involved kind of setup that we've played with. It was really nerve-wracking because they actually backline everything, which, I mean, makes total sense because there are so many acts, and if you want, you know, set up and take down to take anything less than like 15 minutes, like, you've just got to do that. But it was really stressful because all of my effects, you know, that I put on my guitar, anything like that, have all come through my amp before. I've just got a digital amp that had a bunch of really nice settings. And so, like, I kind of panicked when I realized that that was what we were going to have to do, because I realized I was going to have to figure out how to play with pedals for the first time. you know, in front of one of the biggest crowds we'd played for up to that point. That was really nerve-wracking. Luckily, I had really great friends who were willing to let me borrow some of their shit. But yeah, it went really well. And now I know I just need to buy a lot more pedals. They sound so much better than anything that I'm getting out of my amp in the first place. So yeah, I just gotta spring for it. I think pride is really important. This year was great because protesters actually got up on the main stage and kind of just talked about some really important stuff. I think it is frustrating how corporate that event can be. And some of the vendors there are really frustrating, like, in particular, like, especially with the current administration and, like, the ban on transgender people being able to join the military. The fact that there were military recruiters there is gross as hell. There's like a disconnect there. There are also a lot of really great booths that were there this year. The Utah Queer Historical Society was fantastic. I got to meet a lot of people over there that just have focused on figuring out all of like the milestone events for the LGBT community, you know, within Salt Lake and within Utah. Ben Williams, in particular, who's been writing Lambda Lore for Q Magazine for years and years and years and years, is such a fascinating guy, and it was really great to be able to talk to him. But, you know, it sucks that I have to, you know, walk past Wells Fargo and Comcast shilling, you know, rainbow lanyards to find that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I really do love Pride. I think so much of the narrative around the LGBT community, you know, is so negative at times. It's so, you know, focused on kind of the bad things that are happening out there, that having that opportunity to just come together, to just be, is so important. I think that there are ways that you can do that that are more grassroots, that are more focused on the community than on, you know, Wells Fargo. You know, opportunities to fundraise give you more opportunities to come together as a community, you know, other than just the one big festival in the year. There is, of course, Existimos going on this year, which, as of this recording is happening this coming weekend, I think when this comes out, it will have already happened. But, I mean, that's such a great event. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And it comes from people who feel like, you know, Pride doesn't represent them, doesn't, you know, put that extra step in to, you know, represent the community as well as it could. And I think that's really important and really great. And I hope we see more stuff like that in the future. I hope Existimos sticks around next year. That kind of tight-knit community building is arguably more important than, you know, big events like the Pride Festival. And it's wild to go to cities like Provo Pride and, like, Ogden Pride, where, like, it almost feels more like a farmer's market, like a really gay farmer's market. And then the Pride Festival in Salt Lake is like a music festival almost. Like, I think that change in tone is super weird. A lot of it comes from the fact that they're a lot smaller than what you see in Salt Lake. I mean, Salt Lake Pride is huge. I think a lot of the problems come from the fact that it's so big. Like, I don't know if there's a way to get the kind of outreach and kind of mainstream coverage that Pride in Salt Lake gets, you know, without making some of the sacrifices that they have. Actually, I think there definitely is a way, but I think it would definitely be difficult. You know, there's definitely work that has to go in there that, I don't know, they may not or are probably not willing to put in. It's already set up, and, you know, those companies get to use it for, you know, free PR, and, you know, I think a lot of people that then work at those companies are like, oh man, my employer supports my sexuality, and they get to go, you know, work their booth or whatever. And I've worked at places that have done booths at Pride, and it legitimately was a good time going and being able to hang out with coworkers at Pride, because, I mean, it's nice to, like, know that they aren't homophobic or anything. But, like,
that's always nice.
Yeah, nice, yeah, nifty perk. Yeah, I don't know. I have some issues with kind of the spirit of the event. And I hope that that is something that can be addressed or something that they are considering going forward. This is a track from Snakes, the EP that came out this last year. It's about just a lot of the stuff that kind of my family's been through. And I just really love kind of the tone, and the whole song I think is one of the best we've ever written, for sure. Like this episode of Soundwaves, take 60 seconds to rate and review it on iTunes, you know, share it on social media. You know, both of our EPs are up on Spotify, you know, Bandcamp, Apple Music. As far as social media goes, you can find us at RebelRebelSLC on Twitter and Instagram. Our next big show is going to be actually Ogden Pride at the beginning of August. It's August 3rd. We're going to be playing with, you know, Stop Karen. We're playing a drag show, a whole bunch of stuff going on. So come check it out.
Not sure what to do with your weekend? Slug Mag's digital daily calendar has you covered. Check out our Slug event picks on slugmag.com.